Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
Welcome, welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I pray you had a beautiful holiday season, and we, I want you to know, are starting a new feature. We're calling it Overcomers, True Stories from Everyday Heroes. You're going to get to hear inspiring stories from folks who faced insurmountable obstacles, and they overcame them. And here's the point. If they can do it, so can you. Excuse me. Today, you'll hear from my friends, Ben and Kathy Newberg. And if you've listened to any of my Intercessors Insight shows, you may remember one of my panelists, Bonnie Newberg. She happens to be my mentor, a dear friend. Well, Ben is her son. Kathy is her daughter in love, and they are friends of Kev's and mine. And we just appreciate them so much. Today, they're going to share a story about moving from overwhelming debt to unimaginable freedom. I'm so excited for you to hear the story today. Got a quick announcement before we hear from them. Many of you know that we are a listener-supported ministry, and I just want to take a moment to thank you with all my heart for your incredible support, your prayer support, your financial support, even your words of encouragement when you text in. Bill Carmen and I talk about this behind the scenes as on-air hosts. We just are overwhelmed by when you take the time to just send a note to encourage us, to say you're praying for us. Maybe you tell us you love the listener, and we appreciate that so much. It's a daily grind sometimes. We love to do it. But boy, your encouragement, your support means the world to us. So just wanted to pause and just say thank you. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Ben and Kathy Newberg have been married for 26 years, been together since high school. They have four kids and two sons-in-law. They also have four grandchildren that were all born this past fall, one with their younger daughter, triplets with their oldest daughter. They were born 3 weeks apart. Isn't that amazing? Ben is a logistics manager for a medical manufacturing company. Kathy runs a daycare out of their home and has done so since their oldest was born about 25 years ago. Ben enjoys fishing and golfing, and Kathy enjoys shopping and movie nights, and they love spending time with their kids and grandkids. They have developed a love for board games and cards over this past year. Their favorite place to visit is the North Shore, and they try to make it up there once a year. Ben and Kathy, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Looking forward to this. And we're going to start by talking scripture. It's sort of a standalone segment we have every single day, just because we love the Word of God, and we just love when people are in the Word of God, God speaks to them. So, Kathy, I'll start with you. Is there a passage you've been thinking about these days you can share?
Well, I was given this verse probably about 10 years ago at a women's retreat, and I didn't really know what it meant for me over time, but I've been through a lot over the last 10 years, and now I understand. But it was Isaiah 43:2-3. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
Mm. Talk about what that means to you now.
Well, I've been through a lot. I got diagnosed with lupus about 8 years ago, and I didn't know I was going to go through all that. I've had a couple surgeries and had some up and downs with my health, and then financial burdens and different things with our family. So
A lot of stress. You have been through a lot, and He's been faithful, hasn't He?
Yes, very much so.
Wow, beautiful. Mm-hmm. How about you, Ben?
For me, you know, this verse has been with me for the last couple of years, and I find it as, you know, just something that I go back to, and it's Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Mm-hmm. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. And I think we'll talk a little bit about finances, but this kind of goes through all parts of my life that, you know, sometimes you have to go through that discipline and do things that, you know, maybe you don't want to do to get to a place where you want to be. And that's kind of, you know, it's been resonating with me for years, and I always go back to that.
I love what you just said. Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do to get to a place that you want to be. Someone needs to let that even settle for a moment here. Well, let's talk, if we can, about just a little backstory in your faith journey. Kathy, tell us how you came to Christ and what your early years walking with Jesus were like.
Well, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so it wasn't until I met Ben that I was introduced to the faith. So after dating him for a little while, his mom were sitting with me at the dining room table and introduced me to it and prayed with me to receive Jesus in my heart, which was an amazing day in my life. So ever since then, I've just been growing and getting stronger through the faith.
Yeah. You know, we have dinner with Daryl and Bonnie once a month. And if you could hear how they talk about you, you're as much their daughter as Ben is their son. And they love you so much. And I actually didn't know if I knew that she led you to Christ, but how beautiful. I mean, you've got a built-in mentor, mother-in-law, and friend there. That's wonderful. And she's such a fiery prayer. There's just no way around it, you know? Mm-hmm. Ben, how about you? Well, we already know how you grew up. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, as a teenager, I've kind of strayed away. I always had that faith, right? Mm-hmm. It always led me in the right direction, but I don't think I can call it my own until, you know, early in my 20s when we were married. And I think that's where I kind of made it my faith instead of my parents' faith. And I think that's really one of those things that as you look at it and you see what you know, how you're raised and brought up, you kind of see that that's when it became ours, you know, mine and ours and our families when we, you know, when we had kids and were married early on.
So. Yeah. And just for the record, they've got four amazing kids, absolutely amazing kids. They're just solid, wonderful kids, and they love to be with you and love to be with each other. It's a beautiful family God's given you. Well, talk about when you started to acquire debt. I don't know if one of you wants to take that first or second, but
I guess I can
go ahead,
Ben. Start. You know, in the society today, debt is kind of a normal thing. You start out early and you want to get the credit score, and then you start. I don't think we have this huge, overwhelming, you know, we just kind of wandered into it. And, you know, it was a credit card here and no payments, no interest on furniture there. And, you know, we got to a point where we just started accumulating debt. And, you know, that's just over the 25, 26 years we've been married. You know, we just thought that was normal. So we kind of gradually got into that pattern of, you know, and then you get a home equity loan and then you consolidate everything in and then you get back into the same patterns, right? Hey, our payment's down. Now we have some more room. And I think that's kind of where we, you know, just started to fall.
Yeah. Right? You make a really good point that it's so normalized that nobody thinks much of it. But when you're in it, the weight of it is so incredible. So how about you? I mean, I know, you know, years ago I did a show on money personalities, and there are savers and spenders, and there's two others that I can't remember, flyers, where they kind of just have a 30,000-foot view. And they're saying none of these are wrong because God wires us all in different ways. Like, spenders tend to be great givers, you know. Savers are good savers, but they tend to be misers, you know. And so there's a kind of a downside to each of our personalities. Would between the two of you, were one of you more of a spender than the other, Kat?
I would say on a small scale, I was more of the spender. On the bigger scale, he was the spender because he bought the big items.
That was Kevin and I, too.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So how did you feel as the debt sort of accumulated over time? When did it start to worry you?
A few years back, probably 5 years ago, but I did all the bills. Mm-hmm. I took care of the finances. So I kept watching it, and it was pretty stressful. And there was nights where I couldn't sleep. I'm sitting there thinking, how are we going to get out of this? I mean, we literally don't have a penny to our name, but yet we keep spending and spending and doing and doing. And so it was pretty wearing on me. And I think one day Ben was like, let's look at the bills. And he realized really quickly that we were in trouble.
And you with lupus, I mean, the stress is actually a major trigger for you. So how did it impact your health?
I was not doing so great. I was having flares very frequently. I was pretty wore out, tired all the time, in a lot of pain. So the stress did not help me in any way.
Well, maybe for those who don't know what lupus is, and try to imagine her running a daycare with a chronic illness and with the weight of this debt. But what is lupus?
It's an autoimmune disease that basically your body is fighting its own self. It can't fight things off very easily, and I'm just constantly having pain and fatigue, and it starts attacking your organs and things. So you really have to try to take care of yourself in order to keep it somewhat under control.
Wow. Well, I want to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about just how what your breaking point was when you got to this place where, Ben, you looked at the numbers and said, okay, we've got something to do. What was that number, and what was God saying to you, and what were some of the steps that you took to move out? How did God meet you there? Talking to Ben and Kathy Newberg. This is the first of our Overcomer series, true stories of everyday heroes, people who face obstacles, they overcome, and if they can do it, you can too. This story is about moving from debt to freedom. You'll be so inspired and encouraged as you hear what God has done and what they have done and what they've accomplished together. More with Ben and Kathy Newberg in just a moment.
In the middle of the night, I look up to the sky. I can hear you singing over me.
Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. I'm Suzy, and I'm grateful to have you listening today. We're starting a new series. You're just going to hear these every once in a while, called Overcomers, True Stories from Everyday Heroes. Just people who've overcome obstacles, and if they can overcome, you can overcome. My guests today are Ben and Kathy Newberg, and their story is one of moving from debt to freedom. They've been married 26 years, and Ben said it well that, you know, this is debt is just so normalized, and so they sort of just slowly, gradually found themselves in debt by just you know, charging this, charging that, no interest on this furniture, pay later, consolidating, creating more margin, buying more things. That is what people do. Kathy battles lupus and was managing the money. And so the weight of the debt as it was accruing was starting to really take a toll. And then a day came where Ben stepped in, and together they looked at the bills and knew something needed to change. Before we pick the story up from that point, I want to go back a little bit again. What was God saying? Did you hear his voice during these previous years as the debt was sort of, you're acquiring the debt and you're feeling the stress, and Ben, you're a super hard worker and so are you, Kathy. You know, when you prayed, what did you hear God say? Or did he seem silent on this topic?
Well, for me, I kind of was in that mode where I would just ignore it. Kathy was doing the bills. We talked about that. And, you know, I'd look at her and say, well, why can't I go golfing? Or how come, you know, we make too much money to be this broke? And she took that to heart, right? And that shut her down. And so a lot of times we would just not think about that. So as for me, I was in this mode where I just didn't want to know. I didn't want to know how much debt we had, where we were at, right? It was more of, you know, what is my payment? You know, and Dave Ramsey always says, you know, poor people ask how much down, how much a month. Rich people ask how much. And I was just, well, what's our monthly bill look like? And it just, and so for me, I kind of really just shut it down. And I, you know, to be honest with you, I put that aside, and that's on me, right? Mm-hmm. And that was part of the problem is I thought I could do it on my own. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I'm not, maybe God, you're not part of this part of my life, right? Not that I was doing that intentionally, but I was, it was one of those things where it was just, you know, I thought about it, I was stressed about it, I worried about it, but the way I handled it is the wrong way. I just shut it out.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure made you feel at times you were on your own as well. What did you sense God was saying to you during that time?
I knew that we were in trouble. I knew that God was telling me, we got to figure this out. We got to find a way out. But instead, I just kind of sat there and internalized it and tried to deal with it and let the line of credit kick in when we didn't have enough money, or live paycheck to paycheck. And it was pretty scary, but I knew at some point we were going to have to deal with this. I just didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so the day came when you sat down together and said, okay, something's got to change. Bring us to that point.
Well, I knew I could see it in Kathy. I knew she was stressed out. Tears say it all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I started looking at this home equity loan that we got 10 years ago, right? It's what we did to consolidate. And I look, and we took it out for $60,000. And I looked at it 10 years. We paid $550 a month for 10 years. And I looked at it, and it was
$53,000. Oh, wow.
And I was thinking, I've paid over $60,000 in payments to have, you know, not even to scratch the surface of it. And from there,
that almost makes you mad.
Oh, I was just angry, right?
Wow.
Angry. And you know, I didn't go, we had Dave Ramsey books shoved under our TV for years, and we kept saying, well, let's do this. And I still didn't go there. I went, well, let's refinance the house. I still went to the quick fix. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you're not doing anything consolidating credit cards. You're not doing anything getting a home equity loan. You're not paying anything off. And my mind was still there, and it was kind of sad. And that's when you know we saw that our church was having that having a day for Financial Peace University, and we signed up for it.
Wow,
you know, and that was kind of the breaking point there.
Kathy, would you say once you signed up for that, did peace come back? I mean, what I've heard, when our finances were a mess in the early years, when we started to take actual steps, even though we had a mountain to climb, taking steps to put the mountain under my feet made me feel like we're making forward progress. There was something that gets, I don't know, for me, it helped my heart a lot. But were you sort of feeling like I'll believe it when I see it? Or how are you feeling?
For me, to be honest, I was scared because I felt to blame, like I did this because I was in control of it all, and this was going to be truth telling.
Wow.
He was going to see where we were truly at, and I was terrified, thinking this is my fault because I controlled it all. So there was peace, but yet then there was fear.
Yeah,
and Ben kept reminding me that this was both of us, and that it's okay, it's not my fault. And so then it started to come together, and once we got to the class, peace came. Totally.
So when you got to the class, I mean, do you have to go, I'm Ben and Kathy and we have X amount of debt? Or, I mean, is it like that?
No, it's not like that at all.
Because that would be scary.
Yeah, it's actually opposite of that. And I think it's just a community of people that are looking to do the same thing. And you quickly realize that you're not alone, right?
Yeah.
You know what? Everyone's kind of dealing with the same thing. Some are on a larger scale, some are on a smaller scale, but you know, everybody is within that. And I'm just going to couple on what Kathy said. You know, when we first started, it was a little difficult for us to come together because she was feeling guilty on her end. And I was thinking I was, you know, just this schlep that just piled this on my wife. And so, so she was feeling guilty and I was feeling horrible because, you know, I felt like I was to blame. She felt like she was to blame. It took a lot of prayer with us to kind of come to that realization that neither one of us, you know, we're probably doing the right things by us, but we can't stay there.
Right.
We can't stay there. And I think through prayer, you know, and working together, you know, now we're at a place where that's all gone.
I love that because that's so like the enemy to bring in condemnation, to just throw another heavy weight when you're trying to seek freedom. I love that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And so bring us to that. So what was you mentioned your non-mortgage debt, and I don't remember the exact number, but where were you when the day that you started Financial Peace?
We were at, $105,000 in debt. And our total was 115 because we had a tax bill after that. So our total non-mortgage debt was $115,000.
Wow. Okay. So what's the first thing you do on the first day of Financial Peace University?
Well, I think the first thing you do is get it on paper and, you know, look at that number. And I think that's the fear that she had and even me that, you know, you kind of shove it, you know, under the rug.
With the Dave Ramsey book.
Yeah, exactly.
Under the TV.
Everything was under the TV at that point. But no, at that point we figured out we had 6 credit cards, we had a consolidation loan, we had 2 car payments, and we had that huge home equity loan. That was this, you know, the elephant in the room, right? And for us, you know, the start of it was seeing where you're at, right? And not going in anymore. So it was, we sat on our bed, and we cut up every credit card in our wallet and every credit card, and they're still sitting on my dresser.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's our reminder.
And just, you know, we're going to keep going with this story, but just so you have hope, $115,000 of non-mortgage debt was paid off by you two in how much time?
22 months.
22 months. That is a marvel. You guys are incredible overcomers, and it takes so much grit and guts for anybody. And I go back to what you said, Ben, at the open of the show, that, you know, we sometimes have to do what we don't want to do to get where we want to be. And I just think this is a super important message. If it's not finances, maybe it's your health, because we do have this default, Ben. And I love that you can share freely, because we all do this where we'll postpone, you know, the best of what God has, and we numb out and we don't want to face it. It might be overeating. It might be overindulging in something else, but we just sort of put it off. But someone once said that over time, your most consistent choices will either promote you or expose you. So they're private for a while, but in due time, they become public, whatever those things are. If you're nurturing bitterness or forgiveness, if you're nurturing intimacy with God or just you know, defaulting and not spending any time with them. Finances, every area. I mean, you think about it, it's really profound, the accumulative effect of our choices. So what you guys have done in 22 months absolutely blows my mind. I want people to be encouraged by that. So say more if you would. So you cut up your credit cards, and do they instantly tell you you had to go get extra jobs? Because I know, like, you drove for Uber on top of your big day job that you have. Do they tell you that you should go get extra jobs, or what do they tell you to do?
Well, you know, and Dave Ramsey, he starts with baby step one. He has the baby steps. There's seven baby steps.
Oh, good.
And so baby step one is get $1,000 in the bank. Hmm. And step two is to do the debt snowball. Put your debts smallest to largest and tackle them. No matter what the interest rates, you go after the smallest one. And that's to give yourself progress. You can see, hey, we're down one, we're down two, we're down three. Some people get hung up on interest rates and say, okay, this one, you know. And then three is to get 6 months in your emergency fund. So you have $1,000 to start. That's not going to handle a lot, but it's something. And that's the first time we had $1,000 in the bank and didn't spend it, because we always used our credit cards for our emergency fund. Hmm. So I'm like, why would I have $1,000 sitting in the bank that I could throw at a credit card? Because we'd throw money at cards and then mm-hmm. we'd spend more. So, mm-hmm. you know, as we're digging out the bottom, we're filling up the top. And, mm-hmm. and so that's what it is. But in the Dave Ramsey program, steps one through three is what he calls gazelle intense. You stop with your cable. You make some sacrifices to get your budget down. And, you know, the first time you do a budget, he says you're going to get a pay raise, because you're going to look and see all this dining out, and you can just see where you're overspending. And so he doesn't say to do that. But as I started going at it, I was like, I want to get out of this as fast as I possibly can, because that $1,000 isn't going to be there for a while. Mm-hmm. We just cut up all our credit cards. We laid it down and said, we are going to do this, and we're going to do it as fast as we can.
Man. Wow. And so give me those first three steps one more time. The first one?
First step is get $1,000 emergency fund.
Okay.
It's the beginner emergency fund.
And I'm sure that's just foreign for people. So just, and it gives you a sense of accomplishment. And the second one?
Second one is to clear all your non-mortgage debt by putting them in smallest to largest.
Okay.
In dollar amount.
And then the third?
Is 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund. And that's based on how comfortable you are with your job, or, you know, where you feel at. So that's 3 to 6 months worth of your expenses. If something happened, you lost your income, 6 months worth of expenses, 3 to 6 months.
And all the while you're doing this, the snowball thing. So you're continuing to tackle smallest to largest, which is brilliant, because it gives you a sense of traction. Because I think so much of it's up here that if I don't have encouragement or a sense of traction, you start to think, what's the use? So, wow. Talking to Ben and Kathy Newberg, it's an overcomer story, moving from debt to freedom. I want you to be encouraged. This is possible for you. When we come back, I'd like to hear more about a few of those steps and how you guys did it. They had $115,000 of mortgage, non-mortgage debt, paid it off in 22 months. We'll be back in a minute. You know how we overcome? We put feet to our faith, one foot in front of the other. We trust God. We do our part. We do what we can do, and then we ask God to do what only He can do. And before you know it, you've got a mountain under your feet. I'm Susie Larson. This is Susie Larson Live. And we started a new series. We're calling them Overcomers, True Stories of Everyday Heroes. Just want you to hear from everyday people who are walking with God, doing their best, and overcoming major obstacles. And our first overcomer story is from Ben and Kathy Newberg. Been married 26 years. And like they said, like many people, just because our culture normalizes debt so much, in due time, they just over time accumulated $115,000 of non-mortgage debt. And like Ben was saying, he just worked hard and kind of ignored it. And Kathy managed the finances, and so she was more faced with it. In due time, it kind of came to a head. They went to a Financial Peace University course at their church. And in 22 months, they paid off $115,000 of non-mortgage debt. That is just amazing. And Ben was saying before the break that there's seven baby steps that Dave Ramsey talks about. And the first one is get $1,000 in the bank. And the second step is to go from smallest to largest. Take your smallest debt so that you have this debt snowball. You get a sense of accomplishment. So take that smallest one and then roll that money into the next one, and so on and so forth. And then the third step is to set up 3 to 6 month emergency fund. How hard was that for you to do while you're looking at your debt? Because you have to trust him, because, you know, he's saying, saying, trust me in this, you got to do this. How was that hard, and did it seem impossible to get 3 to 6 months in the bank?
You know, I don't think it was that hard. I think, you know, as we were paying off debt, you just got sick and tired of having all of your money go to the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, you know, but I think we both needed that training, right? Mm-hmm. I needed that 21, 22 months to train me. And so now I'm so debt averse. I am never going to go back. Right. And so as you get done with that, you know, the debt snowball and your mortgage debt, we kind of looked at each other, and every time we put something in the bank, we were like, oh my gosh, we didn't throw this into an ocean for our last debt of, you know, our home equity loan. I don't know if.
Yeah, no, that's true. It actually was very rewarding when we were finally done paying that off and we could put all that money towards an emergency fund and build that and watch that grow instead of watching the debt disappear because it was gone. So it was very, very rewarding.
What did it do for you, just your sense of mental, emotional well-being when you were on the track and you guys were aggressively doing this and you're in this course with other like-minded people? I mean, what was that like for you?
Oh, it's just an amazing feeling to know that we were going to do this. There was hiccups here and there, you know, where your car breaks down, whatever. But we knew we could do it. We could overcome it. And so it was one of the most freeing feelings ever, just getting through this journey. And then when we got to the end, I mean, tears just flowed of joy that we actually accomplished this.
Hmm. And Ben, did you guys have a timeline in mind, or did you say, we're just doing this as fast as we can? You know what I mean? Did you have it in your head, I want this done in 2 years, or are you just going after the immediate steps and going, it takes what it takes?
No, we had a plan.
You did.
We definitely had a plan, and we thought we were aggressive with that plan, and we beat that plan.
Wow.
And so I think, like you said, does Dave Ramsey tell you to get another job? He does recommend, you know, when you're in that, get gazelle intense and go after it. Get going. And so, you know, I took on the Uber. Kathy was watching kids after the daycare and doing, we were just grinding on anything we could do, you know. And we have a 16-year-old at home, and, you know, he kind of felt it, and he was with us, right? No,
wow.
We don't want to, you know, and that and that felt good, you know, having him there and understanding what's going on. And we wanted it done. And that, so the timeline we had was 24 months. And, you know, that just meant I get done with work, Uber for another hour or two, you know, after the 3 or 4 that I wanted to do it for. And I think, you know, God really helped us through that. You know, as you're grinding and as you're tired, but you see every month, it was just exciting for us to say, look at what we've done.
Come
on. Right? Look
wow.
what we got this month. If we can
wow.
do this, you know,
wow.
and it was just so exciting.
So you'd said, for those who maybe tuned in late, when you had that home equity loan of what, $60,000, you said, and you said 10 years later, you'd at $550 a month or whatever, how much had you paid down on that?
Just $8,000.
Think about
$7,000.
Think about that. 10 years. And you paid, what was your total that you'd paid? Something like 70,000? Like,
yeah,
what kind of?
I the payments I made for that was over the 60,000.
Unbelievable.
That I borrowed.
And yeah. You'd only paid 7 or 8,000.
Yeah.
It's
and,
criminal.
But we'd pay the minimum payments,
yeah,
you know, and,
right.
and we were just, that was our payment. That was
wow.
kind of what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. What was Uber like?
Uber, you know what? It almost felt like a video game to me. You know, you'd get in your car. I remember the first one. I was so nervous, right? Just, I don't, you know, and I'm just like, oh, God, help me through this. I've never even been on an Uber, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first person that got in my car, it was this lady gets in the front seat, and I'm like, hey, you're my first one. And she's like, she grabbed my phone. This is what you got to do. And she basically trained me how to do it. So,
love it.
So there's a lot of stories that come out of that. But
yeah,
but realistically, awesome. I met a lot of people. I mean, I was worried. I mean, you know, you're worried, like, am I going to get robbed? You know, but as you do it, you just feel like God's in that too.
Right.
You're praying for people that are coming in, and you meet a lot of people. And, you know, it was just
fantastic.
It just kind of let the time go, and it was a great job for me because, you know, if my kid had a baseball game, you know, there was no punching the clock.
Right.
It was when you want to do it, you turn it
fantastic.
On. Right? If you wake up early on a Saturday, you could do it. And it fit the schedule, and it was great. And I know there's
fantastic.
A lot of other things out there with food delivery and different things, and those are just great opportunities to have extra cash. And it's a great side hustle.
Hmm. So how long did you do that? And how long did you take extra kids?
I started pretty early in our debt-free journey, and I did it for 2 years.
Wow. I didn't know you did it that long.
Yeah.
Wow.
About 2 years I did it.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And did you approach like Christmas presents and things different during your debt payoff? I mean, what was that like?
Oh, goodness. That's like my favorite time of year. So yeah. I said to him, it's really going to be hard for me to give up on Christmas. So we made a decision that his Uber would be our Christmas money around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So we could still stay gazelle intense with our other money, and his Uber would be the Christmas money so that I could still enjoy Christmas with the kids and bless them. That was just our favorite time of year.
Same with me. Yes. It's just a precious, precious time. So when you are just, you know, a few months away from paying off, I mean, talk about that.
Yeah. As we've seen it, you know, right now we have a budget meeting. Sometimes it's once a month, sometimes it's twice a month, and I still sometimes get an eye roll over here. But but as we were paying off that debt, we just both started getting excited and both wanting to do things. And you know, Kathy with her lupus was saying, "Can I do something? Can I do the grocery shop?" And I basically just said no, right? Mm-hmm. You know, watching kids, and we don't want to stress ourselves out. But as we got closer, we both seemed to get more intense about, I just want this done, right? And we were just so excited to get it done. So, you know, you can maybe speak to that too.
Well, just like you could just see we were getting closer and closer, and then I just remember we were redoing a floor, and I said. We can actually make the last payment, like right now. And I just wanted it to be this celebratory moment of, this is it. We just did it. We just paid it off. And it was unbelievable. I think we went to dinner the next night to celebrate with the kids, and tears were just flowing. It was the most amazing thing that we've ever done.
And talk about a weight off your shoulders.
Huge.
Wow. Just amazing. Okay, so the 7 baby steps, just to recap, 1,000 in the bank. So that's his first piece. Baby step is get 1,000 in the bank. Tackle your loans or your debts, smallest to largest. Is that right?
Yep.
And then get a 3 to 6 month emergency fund. What's the next one?
Well, as you're getting through debt, Dave Ramsey tells you to stop all retirement. And the reason behind that is to just focus and get everything you have getting yourself out of debt. Mm. And so taking away the 401k was also a motivator for us, right? Mm-hmm. I already felt like I was behind in that. And so it's another motivator to you to say, we got to get out of here as fast as we can. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as you get out of that baby step 3, that's where you can kind of calm down and you can start to live a little bit. That's when you buy your couch. That's when you can start saving for different things. But baby step 4 is getting 15% of your household income into retirement. So that's baby step 4.
15% of your household income into retirement.
Correct.
Okay. And the next?
And the next is kids' college. Mm. And there's no amount on the kids' college, but it's saving for your kids' college.
Mm. All right. And number 6?
Number 6 is to pay off your house. So 1, 2, and 3 you do on your own, right? You take them each as one step. You don't do one before the other. When you get to 4, 5, and 6, you do them simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So 15% save for kids' college, and anything extra you want, put on the house.
Mm. And 7?
7 is live and give like no one else.
Say more about that.
Well, we're not there yet. We do have a plan, and we do have a timeline that's in our head for our house, and I never thought we could get to that spot. But you know, once you get to baby step 7, now you can be outrageously generous. And that's what Dave Ramsey always says. You can live and you can give. So, you know, what he says is you can do the things you want to do. You can put more in retirement, but then you can give beyond your tithe. And, you know, as we are going through this, it's important to talk about the tithe because, you know, when we started this, you know, we would tithe, but we weren't there, right? We'd always say, okay, you know, it was kind of what was left. And you know, when you do a Dave Ramsey, the top of the budget's the tithe, the giving, right? And, you know, as you're going through debt and you're paying things off and you have extra income, it was really important for us to put that at the top, right? That's, I've done it. We've done it Ben and Kathy's way, right? Now we're going to we're going to submit and do it the way
thank you, Lord. You know,
God wants us to do it. And so for us, it's, you know, we're still in that kind of intense mode. We're in our payoff, our house mode. Mm-hmm. And you know, God willing, we can be there in 4 to 5 years. Mm. But I would have never, ever thought that we could even come close to that from where we were.
So does he suggest, let's say you are debt-free except for your mortgage, would he, you know, say to apply these 7 steps as earnestly to your... Because some financial advisors say your mortgage is one thing you should keep because you've got the tax write-off and all of that. How does he feel about that?
He would say to fire your tax professional.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he says, if you want to send me $20,000 worth of taxes so I can give you $5,000 or $10,000 back at the end of the year, you can do that. Hmm. But I'd rather have that taxes. So he's really, really strong on that point that, you know, if somebody tells you to keep that. And another thing is there's risk, too. You know, 0% of houses have been foreclosed on when they're paid off. And that's what he talks about all the time. Hmm. And so, you know, some people will say, well, the market's doing better than the interest rate. He's debt averse, right? And, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm under that, you know, and it's not always a math problem. Sometimes it's a, you know, it's in your head, yeah. right? And so for me, I want to get that thing out of there and just not having a payment in the world, you know, and you talk about that's like, you know, my parents and my mentors, my dad has been like that his whole life. And seeing that and him talking about the day he went in and paid off his mortgage, I still think about that. He still talks about that. And I wish I would have listened to him a little bit earlier.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's an example. Your dad is an example of, you know, and I don't even know what he made, but, you know, I know of people who didn't make a ton of money, but were very wealthy in that they were wise in how they managed what they had. And so they were fine. They were wealthy in that they were fine. They didn't have a need. And then I know these really rich people who are debt poor and living in constant stress because they just keep, there's no boundaries to their spending. And I just think there's something so powerful about staying within your means and managing it well so that you're you know, you owe no man any debt except to love him. I mean, what a powerful thing.
Yeah. And just seeing the way they live too, and them being an example, you know, is just something that I want to do. And,
yeah.
And so as we talk about paying off our mortgage, I look forward to that day. Right. Mm. And that's kind of the goal. That's where we're at now.
Mm. Ah, that's powerful. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to just have you look back over your shoulder and just share maybe how God has shown up and what his grace has been like and what advice you might have for someone listening today who's just buried under the heap of debt and even your vision beyond your mortgage payoff. What else do you want to do as far as financially? How do you want to give? What do you dream about? Love to hear more. Talking to Ben and Kathy Newberg from Debt to Freedom. It's one of our overcomer stories. There'll be more overcomer stories in the days ahead. This one is they moved from $115,000 of non-mortgage debt to debt freedom in 22 months. They took a Financial Peace University class at their church, and now they teach that class. Isn't that amazing? More with Ben and Kathy Newberg in a moment. God is so faithful. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We've started a series, we're calling it Overcomers, True Stories from Everyday Heroes. And our first one is with Ben and Kathy Newberg, friends who've moved from debt to freedom. They acquired $115,000 of non-mortgage debt over a number of years and paid it off in 22 months. They took a Financial Peace University course through their church in 22 months. It's just amazing. And if you just tuned in, you got to go back. When the live show's over, we'll have a podcast up shortly thereafter. Go back and catch the whole story. It's just been phenomenal. So now you're going after your mortgage because you just want to have it all done. But talk about what your weeks were like in Financial Peace University and then how it came about that you became an instructor.
Well, we started Financial Peace, and I had been listening to the Dave Ramsey podcast, and I still do. I listen to it every day, and it's kind of motivating to hear debt-free screams, listen to people, and the journey that they're going through, and it kind of eases your mind to say, okay, you know, other people are doing the same thing. Shortly, you know, after we took Financial Peace, our coordinator said, hey, I'm going to be on vacation. Would you mind leading the class? And I kind of panicked. I'm like, this is not my wheelhouse. I don't feel like I can do this, you know? So we did it, and, you know, I don't think it was great, but we got through it. But then, you know, Carol Jacobs, who was, you know, someone that led that class, and she was the first person I texted when we got debt free, you know, she stepped down and asked us if we would lead the class, and we did. And, you know, the funny thing is if you had told me, you know, a couple of years ago that I'd be leading a financial peace class with my wife, I would have thought you were crazy. Right. And so it just shows you what God can do and what he can put through you, you know, with just diligence.
Right? Yeah. Before we led it at Emmanuel, we led it at our son-in-law's church, and our kids all went through it with us, which was very rewarding just to see them going through it. And that was just amazing. And then seeing some of their church family go through it. So it was kind of a good little warm up for us. It was a small group. So,
yeah, fantastic. Yeah. That's amazing. So what kind of financial dreams do you have past paying off this mortgage? What kind of audacious, generous things you want to do?
Well, you know, as you're going through this, I think one of the things that always scared me is kind of a legacy. You know, what kind of legacy are you going to leave to your kids? And, you know, you never know when it's your time. And for me, it was always, if something happened to me, what would happen to Kathy, right? And so for me, it's a lot of it is making sure that we have the financial wherewithal to be able to, you know, handle anything that comes our way. But like they say, being outrageously generous and double tipping your waitresses and helping your kids out when they need something, or even giving more to church funds and feeling like you have the ability to do that. Or finding somebody that you can just bless. That's the funnest part about wealth or accumulating money. It's not also you can hoard it and go on vacations and have better cars. At least to me, I think the best part about, you know, having that financial wherewithal is to give, right?
Mm-hmm.
And give generously.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you know about God now that you didn't know 5 years ago, 10 years ago?
He has a sense of humor.
He's funny.
He will find a way. I think for me, the way I go through this is, you know, as we're going through this journey, there's bumps and there's, you know, for me, I needed this, but I also needed some bumps in that journey. When you get an extra tax bill and you go, oh, or you have a baseball tournament that you have to go to with your kids and you got to, you know, there's things that come up. And I think he just knows what you need to change your thinking. And I think as we were going through that, it wasn't, you know, you have this plan at the beginning of your month and then your plan gets
always
messed
goes.
Up.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, as you go through that, you know, I feel like it was God just telling me, you know, just keep going, right? Don't give up, you know, in the discipline part that we talked about with no discipline seems pleasant at the time. I feel like I needed that training to get me to the point where I'm at now, right? Just to know that, hey, if a small little bump happens in the road, don't pack up and go running, right? You're just going to have to tackle it. And I think learning to do that together as a husband and wife and kind of go through that and just know that sometimes your plans aren't his plans and sometimes you don't always know why. But, you know, as you're getting trained, it just feels like, you know, God is just with us, right? Yeah. And I feel like every step of the way, from our kids to everything else, you know, that's
beautiful. Wow. Do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would just say, like, we never let him be the center of it. Going through this, I felt like we put God first. Mm-hmm. And it was about time. We finally just put him as the center and let him be in control and say he's God over all of it.
Mm-hmm. When I think about, you know, Ben, when you're talking about how toward the beginning, when Kathy was doing the bills, she was facing that this debt was piling up and kind of internalizing it. And you didn't want her to look at it. That is how most people, I think, deal with problems, right? And then they sort of boil beneath the surface. And the enemy, I think, just levels a lack of confidence. And you think about God, if he were to step in and talk to you and say, you know, Ben, not only are you going to get this paid off in 22 months? I'm raising you up to be an instructor at a church of more than 3,000 people. I mean, you think about how wild and audacious God is and how enemy just levels so much accusation. And I just want to go back again to what you said at the beginning, that sometimes we have to do what we don't want to do to get where we want to be. And I just think, I'm thinking of maybe the husband who's ignoring problems at home or his wife saying things aren't okay. And he just works more because he doesn't want to face it because maybe it's a lack of confidence. Like my hubby always says, if men don't find a path to a win, they won't try at all. And they need to know there's a path to a win. And the same thing with women. You know, we are ignoring certain problems and we need to face them. I say all that to say, what advice would you have for the person who's where you were a couple of years ago? Maybe it's finances, maybe it's something else, but they're buried and they've neglected looking at it. And God's trying to, you know, tap them on the shoulder, tilt their chin up. What advice would you have for them?
I just, you know, the way I look at it is there's no great time to start, right? Mm. But now.
Right.
And there's always excuses to kind of, you know, put that off and say, oh, I would do this, but, right? And for me, just starting and saying, where are we at? And getting together with you know, my wife and for us getting on the same page and just talking about it. Sometimes just talking about your finances and figuring out where you go. Obviously, I'm a Dave Ramsey financial piece. You know, that is something that I believe helped us tremendously just to understand some of the things you don't understand, whether it's, you know, 401ks, whether it's what do I do in this case? Why do you pay this off and not this off? And those questions are really answered in this 9-week program. And I believe that, you know, it's getting on the same page with your wife or your spouse, or if you're single, having an accountability partner. And just starting, figure out where you're at and what you need to do.
Wonder if you would wrap by praying for that person listening today, who their heart's beating. They're like, he's talking to me. I know he's talking to me. Would you pray for that person?
Yeah, I will. Mm. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this time with Susie, Lord. And I just pray for that person out there that is dealing with the same issues that a lot of people are, Lord. Mm-hmm. I pray that you would just help them through their time. Lord, I just pray that you would be with them and just give them the understanding that there is a way out, Lord. I just pray that you would have peace come over them, Lord, and I just pray that you would be with them in Jesus' name.
Lord, I would pray that you do the miraculous, Lord God. And I'm thinking of, you know, people listening today who have been postponing obedience, putting it off, and it's getting harder and harder. But I just pray that they would feel that inspiration today to do the things they don't want to do so they can end up where they want to be. Give them a vision, God, for what you have for them, and give them the want to and the will do to step up and step in and start today. In Jesus' name, amen. I just am so inspired by you both. I love you, and I appreciate you telling your story. And I just think this is chapter one. I think that there's going to be more to this story, and I can't wait to have you come back and catch us up and hear more stories about what God's doing. And I want to hear more Uber stories later if you've got them. So.
Plenty of them.
Thank you both for coming today. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for tuning in today. I hope you found some encouragement here. Our first overcoming story, stories of overcomers, true stories of everyday heroes. And you can be an everyday hero. Face your foes, tell your giants they're going down, face your fears, trust God, put mountains under your feet. You will overcome because Jesus overcame. Hope you found some encouragement today, and we will meet you back here next time. Have a very blessed day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.